that the good Lord is not lacking in resources at all. Do you get my point? I have learned that thing. There's a way the Lord taught it to me, and I'm every day trying not to forget, because it's so important that we don't forget. Now, so I try every time not to forget what the good Lord has been teaching me since the beginning of the year concerning the fact that His resources are not limited. What matters is that you are able to come to the place of rest, the place of faith, when you are walking with God, so that His resources can be made available. I told you that day I had to go and do something, and then, no, actually what happened was that I went to book a flight ticket, and it turned out to be so expensive. So I told the man, nah, how come this thing is so costly? He said, Oga, it's because of the date you are traveling. If you just travel a week earlier, you could save like $300 on this thing, you know? And instinctively, the heart of mine said, okay, now, let me rearrange my program. Then as the Spirit of God just said, just pinch me, like, don't try it. That is, you don't arrange your life according to circumstances, all right? You allow them to cooperate. You allow them to respond to the power of God that's inside you. So I looked, I said, no, I made my plans because of certain reasons, and those reasons have not changed. The only one that has changed is that this man wants to save some money. And I said, no, I will not do that, lest the Lord gets angry with me and puts me out of ministry. Now, I'm very, very serious. No, if I some of these things, it sounds like a joke. But let me say, some preachers don't know, you know, if you as a minister, I've explained this before, you're supposed to be serving something, all right? You know, you're supposed to be imparting the Spirit to people. And if you're not imparting the right Spirit, God will kick you out of ministry. That's why Paul said, I put my body under. Are you getting my point? I buffet my body, lest having ministered to people, I myself become a castaway. It didn't mean I would die and not go to hell. That's not what he was saying. He said, I will suddenly be found useless. God will no longer have an occasion for using me again. Are you getting my point? All right, let's get back into our teaching on the law of faith. And I have some meditations in my heart that I want to share with us today. Now, let's start from the book of Galatians chapter 5. Now, what I want to say initially, you wonder what that has got to do with the law of faith that we're talking about. But then, along the line, you'll understand why what I decided to read is. Let me start from verse 16. It said, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets itself against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please, that is, as Christians. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like that, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Now, the next word is pistis in Greek, which is actually faith. If you have a King James, what does it say? Faith, thank you. Now, if you have a New American Standard, like I'm reading here, it says faithfulness, all right? But the word literally is faith, all right? That's why a lot of Bibles use the word literally as faith. So please bear that in mind. There's a reason, it was while I was meditating that my mind went back to this, and I realized this is so important, we'll discuss it today. It said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, faith, gentleness, verse 23, self-control. Against such things there is no law. He now said, now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. That will show us clearly here that there's a difference between living by something and walking by something. I've explained this one to us before, just in passing, before I get into my teaching today. Let me just say it again. To live means to acquire life. That's the meaning. It's not saying that to live by faith, that is, when I wake up, I only see things by faith. I see things from the Word of God. That is walking by faith. Are you getting my point? That is walking by the Spirit. But living means to acquire life. That is where people said that I would have died because of what the natural circumstances predicted. That is maybe because I am sick and I have a hereditary disorder, or because I do not have the good qualifications in life that I appear like people used to make great progress. But despite these things, you will find out that I will live and not die. I will succeed and not fail. The Bible said that what I have done is to acquire life. That's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. That is, man will not acquire life, derive his existence from bread alone. That is, it is possible for medical science to say you are feeding on a vitamin deficient diet, yet you'll be healthier than the people who are taking vitamin supplements. Are you getting my point? The reason being that you have acquired life from the realm that is not natural. So that's what it means to live by bread. That's what it means to live by the word of God. That is to acquire the strength to survive, to have the ability to triumph and overcome in life from the word of God. You are getting the point I'm making. But then when you talk about walking by refers to the principles that guide your life. The reason why you do the things that you do, your motivation actually for living. That's what you call walking by something. So he said, if we live by the Spirit, then let us also walk by the Spirit. You are getting the point. For example, if somebody, as I know, if somebody is sick and doctor said the person will die, and then you believe that, let us pray for this person and the person will get well. All of us will join our hands and pray for Brother X, and Brother X should get well. That is, you expect Brother X to acquire life because of the spiritual principle. Are you getting the point? That in the same manner, therefore, if the man gets raised up from his sick bed, or those of us praying for him, all right, then when we want to make decisions in life, we shouldn't forget that spiritual realm exists. We don't go there only when we need something. Do you get my point? It becomes a part and parcel of our everyday living. Did I confuse you there? You understand what I said? So that's what Paul was saying, that if we expect results that are supernatural, then we should expect to take decisions having a knowledge in our heart that the supernatural realm is really tangible. It's really real. So he said, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Now, having read all of this, now what I want to teach today actually is still on the law of faith. And I read this Galatians chapter 5 to highlight some principles of life. You see, while I was thinking about it, some things came to my mind. Notice a few words here. It said, now you've heard this scripture before. The love of money is the root of all evil. You've heard that before. Now, if you have a King James, it will tell you the love of money is the root of all evil. All right? Now, but the truth is that the love of money is not the root, it's a root. That is, there are other roots of evil. Do you understand what I'm going to say? Now, this is how Paul said it. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6. He said that those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare. Don't let me read everything. He said in verse 10, he said, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for money, that he was saying, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. He said, but flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, holiness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. I wanted to notice verse 11. He said that, what do you pursue? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Exactly the same things he was talking about in Galatians chapter 5, the same person Paul, as being the fruit of the Spirit. Now, please notice this. He said the love of money is the root, all right? In Galatians 5, he now said that these are the things that are the fruit of the Spirit. I want to notice this. It shows you something that life is actually... Now, this is some of my principles. Just now I learned it to help you, okay? There are these principles of life that I've come to understand by considering these things. I've said this to us many times, and this will help me drum it in now. And that's the fact that many of the things that people are gunning for, you know, I've said this, are not actually their rewards. They are not things you reach for by themselves. Do you get my point? That is, a man is looking for long life and prosperity. God said there are no ways of grabbing long life and prosperity that I give them to the people that I'm pleased with. So what you can make your target in life is to be pleasing to God. You cannot rise up and say, now let me get long life and prosperity. No, you will do things that are pleasing to God, and then the good Lord will now give you long life and what? Prosperity. Now, in the same manner, you know, for many years, I've been meditating and wondering, have you ever seen a stupid person before? I mean, like, a man is stupid. Imagine somebody is behaving so stupidly. An adult. I'm not talking about somebody who doesn't know anything about life. How come he's this stupid? How come he has no self-control? How come when it's so obvious that they are deceiving him, he can't pull out? Yet everybody else can see that this is deception. And this guy is going to ruin himself and everybody else that attaches himself to him. I'm bringing out something here. Those are the fruits of life. Such behaviors are the fruits of life. Now, listen to me again. Do you know that David knew he was in trouble when he sent for Uriah's wife, Bathsheba? I don't know if I get my point. How come he couldn't restrain himself? The fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says what? Self-control. Listen, this man, you should be disciplined. Listen to me. Discipline is a fruit. It's not a root. Come on, you should be motivated. Listen to me. Motivation is a fruit. It's not a root. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying in life. You see a man who cannot take his eyes away from other women, yet he's married. It is not the root. It's what? A fruit. Are you getting my point? It's not the root. Is a fruit. So, you see, people can tackle roots. They can't tackle fruit. One day, my wife told me about a young lady that she knew. I mean, the gist is popular for everybody in that area. This girl was in the church. She got pregnant for one brother in the church. She left the church, went to another church, slept with almost all the men in this choir, got pregnant for one, and that one ejected his wife to marry her in a Pentecostal church. When I heard the story, I said, where's her father? I said, she's behaving typically like a girl that has been cursed by her father. That her behavior is not a root. It's what? A fruit. When I mentioned, I thought my wife or my sister-in-law said, and that one. That when the last one happened, her father phoned and said, I mustn't see her feet near my house. I said, it's obvious that you cannot have a father who loves you and prays for you and behave like this. See, I'm bringing out some issues to us. A lot of things you see people do, they are what? Fruits, not roots. Paul said, the fruit of the Spirit. No, we're talking about the law of faith. And that's why I emphasize that one of the things he called the fruit of the Spirit is faith. But let's take the whole thing so it just help us in this series. He talks about love, joy, peace, all those in long-suffering, self-control. He said these things are the fruit of the Spirit. That is, they are not the things you can control. The only thing you can control are roots. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, David, listen to me. The moment he set his eyes on Bathsheba, he knew he had the problem. But he couldn't control it anymore. I wrote an article many years ago. I called them the steep slopes of life. There are times that revelation came to me as a friend of mine, a brother, was telling me the calamities his uncle was going through. And suddenly the Spirit of God quickened something. I said, this guy has gone over a cliff. He can't stop. He said, one calamity after another is befalling this man. I said, he's over a cliff. He can't stop. That the time he could control this thing was before he got to the edge of that cliff. The moment he went over, it's beyond him now. Then it dawned on me that that's how life is. That God gives you the opportunities to keep moving in one direction. Then a time comes where the Bible said the destruction is determined, overflowing with righteousness. We can't stop it now. Are you getting my point? In the same manner, there are times that blessings are determined. The day Isaac was sacrificed by Abraham, God said, by myself I have sworn. That is, from now on, there is nothing you can do to turn around the blessings of Abraham. Abraham, at that point, had lost the ability to curse God. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to say. Listen, this is how life is. That is, there are things that are roots, and there are things that are what? Fruits. It works on the good side, it works on the evil side. I'm talking about human behavior, the character of people, spiritual qualities. A lot of them are fruits, they are not roots. That's why I read from Galatians chapter 5. Because you see, the works of the flesh, these are the things that the flesh produces. So Paul warned, he said, walk by the Spirit. And you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. What he was saying is that you cannot fight against the desires of the flesh. All you can do is go to the root. Do you get what I'm going to say? Listen, for those of us who are around on Monday, how many of us were here on Monday? I shared some things there that are very, very, in my opinion, very intense. One of the things I explained Let me just go on with that. On Monday, when we're starting from Genesis chapter 25, I took almost 20 minutes or more to explain the reason why Abraham said, please, you can't marry for my son from anywhere but from my kindred. We discussed that one at length. And I said something there. I said the reason, now I'm amplifying it now, this is what we found out, that it is not as if we are saying there are no nice people amongst the Canaanites. We are not saying that there are no good people of what you and I will call good character there. It's just that they have the root that when it springs forth, what it will produce is bitterness. Are you getting my point? That when Esau married, that marriage was a source of depression for Rebekah and for Isaac. And Esau married a Hittite. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That is, you must learn to decipher lineage. That is, the problem I have, I said that on Monday, with Christians, is not that they look at lineage. Who's his father? Where has he come from? It's the kind of lineage they are looking at. I don't know whether I get my point. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Are you getting my point? Paul always emphasized about God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He never said the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. That is, he was beginning to define a new lineage. Listen, there are churches. Now, I want to say this with care, but please don't understand. He that hath here, ears, let him hear what the Spirit says through Banky to the people of God. There are churches that if a man wants to marry from now, and he comes to me and say, Pastor, I found a young woman. I like her so much. I would like to marry her. And I'll say, that's the church she attends. She says, yes. I said, then give it to her as a condition that she's coming out of that church as soon as you marry. If the guy says the girl doesn't agree, I will not say don't marry. But in my heart, I have dissociated myself from that marriage. I know they're not going anywhere. I'm serious, though. I mean what I've said, like, just like I've said it. Because I'm talking about what? Lineage. That is, what is the seed, the root inside the person? Let me tell you, all these Hollywood marriages you see, the last 2.5 months, you know? Jennifer Lopez. All those ones. Are you getting my point? You think they were married? They were thinking, look, in 2.5 months, I will have had enough of this girl and then I'm leaving. Do you think they thought so? It's a time of crisis that what is inside comes out. Are you getting my point? That's when it comes out. It's not when everything is hunky-dory. When life is going on cool. The first few weeks, oh, honey, sugar. In fact, honey is jamming chocolate, sugar. Everything is sweet. If at that time, if you slap your wife, say, that slap was with love and affection. It sank into my face with the blessing of the Lord. I'm telling you. Then after some time, you go cool down. Life go quit. You understand my point? Then you will now see the manifestation of the root that's inside. Are you getting my point? Now, what am I trying to say? That's the quarrel I have with Christians. When they start focusing on the wrong lineage, which is he a Hausa man or a Yoruba man, an Igbo man or an Ijo man? Are you getting my point? That is ungodly. That is not scriptural. Is his village next to my own? That is of the flesh. He that sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. Are you getting what I want to say? But Paul said, henceforth I know no man after the flesh. One thing I know is that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. You are getting what I'm saying? But now, having established that, if we understand it very well, roots, you can look and know. Look, you know where this person is coming from. You know where he's going. Now, listen, the guy may be tall, dark, and handsome, and very, very rich right now. In 10 years' time, depending on the kind of root, he's become short, fair, and ugly, and poverty-stricken. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. Why? Because what we are looking out is what? At is the root. It is the thing that is inside that will eventually bring forth fruit. Listen, you know what will rise again? Anything that still has root. When they cut down Nebuchadnezzar, he said, leave the stump there. That is, the root is still there. In fact, they chained it to the ground. They can't go anywhere. Then one day, it began to grow again. Are you getting my point? David said, my enemies don't rejoice over me when I go down. He said, because I shall what? That's the eye he sees with evil. Sometimes evil may not be apparent now. He said, relax, good man. I shall rise again. You are getting my point. Now, I'm explaining something here. Then we saw, that was why Abraham, having understanding, said, look, Isaac, I know the girls here are fine, and I know they like you. But bros, I know where we are going. The root inside them cannot, it will produce something that will not allow you to inherit the blessing of God. I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you here. That is, in life, oh, there are things that are roots. There are things that are what? Fruits. Fruits you can't tackle. They come out by themselves. Okay, let me conclude that thing we said on Monday. So I explained that that is why you tell a young lady or a young man, don't marry somebody who is not a believer. We are not saying nice people don't exist amongst unbelievers. We are not saying that. I quoted Derek Prince for you there on Monday. I said, Derek Prince described Esau as a nice chap. That an American would have called Esau a good guy. You know, how many of you watched the Training Day? I looked at one scene in that movie. Here were criminals, big men, crooks, murderers, drug dealers themselves by proxy, introducing themselves. He's a good man. He's a good man. Are you getting what I'm saying? These are all crooks, lawbreakers who are supposed to be law enforcers. They are calling themselves good men. In America, certain mafia men call themselves good fellas. There's a movie they did on that, good fellas. That's actually what they call themselves, good fellas. You're getting my point. So Derek Prince said, you see, Esau was a good man. But he was described in the New Testament as what? A godless man. Oh, I don't want to preach that message again. Go and beg Lucy Menka to get you one copy of the CD. That, see, his godlessness was reflected. Now, listen to this. I'm going to expand that today. It was reflected in the fact that he couldn't perceive the value of his birthright. The ability to perceive is what? A fruit is not a root. A godless attitude is a root. The love of money is a root. I tried to identify a few roots before I came for today's meeting. Pride is a root. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and what? The pride of life. These are roots. You know what it means? They bear fruits. Fruits of foolishness. Fruits of unnecessary anger. You know, you see? Oh, God. Now, please. Now, let me just say something. Now, when a man is reacting sometimes, you don't know why he's reacting the way he's reacting. The experiences in life the person has had, are you getting my point? That's produced a kind of, you cannot tell the person at that particular point in time, why are you reacting like this? I almost fought a conductor in Lagos once. I won't tell the detail of the story. Over 5 naira. It was not 5 naira. 5 naira was the smallest of my problem. It was change. It was that I saw this man had played me for a fool. Do you get my point? Now, 5 naira was not the issue. I said, this guy thinks he's smart. I didn't know when I rushed him. It was at the end of everything that the beggar got sorry now, and my book had fallen down. One of them had torn, that I realized that, gosh, if they hear this story, they will say it's 5 naira. But you know the truth is that it wasn't 5 naira. When you hear that two guys were fighting, over 10 naira, and one killed the other. It was not 10 naira. Don't be ignorant. That fight is a fruit. The root is, it could be love of money, or it could be pride. Pride is a very terrible one. That is, this guy, now it's 10 naira that they are fighting over. So much that one drew a gun on the other guy. But the point is that his soul is not fighting for 10 bucks. His soul is fighting for its pride. Are you getting my point? So what you have seen as anger is actually a fruit of a root called the pride of life. That's why I said, look, listen, most all of us, if God does not disgrace you in certain places, he can't bless you in life. That is, he will first make sure you have no pride to defend. You will be so disgraced. Then pride, no, they worry you again. Oh God, if we have enough time, I want to dig some of these things out. Because you see, I said that what is actually worrying people that you are complaining about, they are fruits,
and human beings can't tackle fruits. That's why psychologists, they start doing Freudian analysis. They want to find out what is the root. Unfortunately, they go after things that don't exist. That is, they look for root. They can't see anything they see below the surface. They call it the thing. When in the reality, Esau was a godless man. All right? He was a profane man. Therefore, he sold his birthright. And okay, that's what I was trying to explain. Now, you will look and say, Esau, why are you so stupid? How could you sell a whole birthright that is going to produce or was going to produce Jesus Christ for the earth? Are you getting my point? How could you sell it for one morsel of meat? We all know that it was not because he was hungry. I discussed that one on Monday. You think Jacob took advantage of him? Jacob never did. Jacob took advantage of his godlessness. Now, get my point. It wasn't because he was hungry. My illustration that day was, let's assume for 3 days I have not eaten. I am hungry. I'm almost fainting. Then you come up to my car. I say, Pastor, this is your car. It's very fine. I like this black color and the tinted glasses. I see you are very hungry. Here's 200 card. You take the car. Let me take the car. Give you 200 bucks. Can I eat anything you want? All the anointing inside my soul will cost you that day. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. Because to me, the value of the car, forget hunger. Hunger. You are following my point? That is, in Esau's case, it was a reflection of the fact that he was a godless man that showed up in the fact that he couldn't understand the value of his birthright. That is, listen, wisdom, I always say, is a gift of God. If God doesn't open your eyes, you can't see. He said, what good is this birthright to me now? Jacob understood that even if I died, I will live again if I have the birthright. You are getting what I'm saying? One who's alive, say, what use is it to me? Jacob understood that it's my defense in life. That even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, if I have this birthright, the Lord has to be with me. It's his investment. Jacob understood that. They've told him a story about his father, grandfather Abraham, what they went through before his father was born. Jacob was like, Jesus, Kai. Now this is the day. They say a day. If I have to keep moving. And in this house, you can only pass through one person. They said, yes, yeah, it must be me. So he went and met Esau. Esau said, now clear. In life, a man is a man of himself. What you fight for is what you get. If you rise up early, you get the things that come out early. If you come back home late, the things that come out the whole day, they are with you. A man prospers according to the labor of his hand. I don't need no God. Ha! Jacob said, you have said well. In fact, for one morsel of meat, can I have the birthright? Jesus said, take. In fact, initially, Jesus said, it is enough free. Nothing goes for nothing, man. Did I not tell you that a man has to take hold of his destiny? Jacob said, they come. Jacob was stalking him for when he would want something. And the moment he wanted something, the only price Jacob asked for was that birthright. Why? Because the man could see the value. You are getting my point? That is, the ability to see the value is what? A fruit. But the root is how much you love the Lord, how much your heart reaches out for God. What I'm saying, is it clicking? You are following that? So listen, when you see a foolish man, it is not his fault. Foolishness is a fruit, it's not a root. I tried to identify a few roots for us. Number one, I said, the love of money, we read that one. The Bible says it's a root of all forms of evil. He said, many have reached for it, and therefore they have peered. In fact, what did he say? When they reached for it, what happened? They departed from the faith. That's what I wanted to hear. He said, in reaching for it, they departed from the faith. Now, you see why some pastors preach all kinds of things. I told you, you can't. Oh, who was it that was telling me that? Well, we heard one preacher say that you can't argue with a blind man. You know why? He can't see. You can use PowerPoint to project it. He can't see. You can get an architect to give you a 3D model of it. He can't see. Are you getting my point? Until the man can see, there's no point arguing over whether something is red, purple, yellow, green, or black. The man can't see. Please, are you following me? Now, this is the point I'm making. That's what you see in life. When people are making anyhow judgments, making anyhow decisions. It is not at that moment, oh God, I don't know how to, I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. It's something that's already going on in their lives. So when you see the, you go up to the man of God and say, ah, pastor, what you are preaching is not right. You have 50 scriptures to show him that what he's saying is not scriptural. Listen to me. The Bible makes it very clear that wisdom is a fruit. Are you getting my point? Self-control, which makes a man not take what does not belong to him, is a fruit. The root is that he loves money. And Paul said, many departed from the faith because of their love for money. So every time they preach, they grab the scripture. It has always has something to do with how somebody can bring an offering from his pocket. Don't be angry with the man. That's what? A fruit. Don't even take paper and go and start arguing. Say, man of God, sit down. Let me show you that this is not how it works. It's irrelevant. It's unnecessary. The point is that there, once there is the love of money, what you are seeing is a fruit which made him what? Depart from the faith. What I'm saying, are you following it? Now you understand why I read Galatians chapter 5. You have understood that point. Because, see, faith. Now let's not get back on the matter of faith. You know, I was saying something, let me conclude that. So when they say a woman especially, should not marry an unbeliever, it's not because the guys are not nice or there are no nice unbelieving girls. There are. It's just that we are seeing that there is a root that will eventually become manifest. Like they asked somebody once, what is wrong with marrying an unbeliever? I laughed. He said, what is wrong with taking the father, making the devil your father-in-law? Are you getting what I'm going to say? It is not now. It's when you need your father-in-law that you understand issues. Oh, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So now that we've established that, let's now sit on our matter of faith. Faith, I said, is what? A fruit. Like we read in Galatians chapter 5, Paul said, the fruit of the Spirit. He says, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith. Literally in Greek, it says faith. Now, I need to explain that thing again about faith, which I have established in previous discussions. And that's the fact that, you see, faith is not something, now from what I have said now, from everything I have said, you can see that it's a fruit. Therefore, it's not something you can personally reach for. I don't know whether you get my point. That Jesus said it in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. We read that one. Maybe we should just, for a second, quickly go back there to help me to explain this point. Actually, where I'm going is 25. But Jesus, having explained the things he has said up to this point, he said, therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them. And I explained before that if you can believe, that's what he was saying. If that believing is in your heart, that you have received them, then they will be granted you. He said, whenever you stop, you stand praying. Now, this is in connection with that praying thing. He now said, whenever you stand praying, that is when you are going to say this prayer of faith by which you will ask for something. He said, if you have anything against anyone, he said, forgive, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Now, what's the point here? I said something earlier that faith is what? A fruit. It is not a root. Let me add this one to it. Unforgiveness, okay? Bitterness, all right, is a fruit, but unforgiveness is also a root. Are you getting the point? Now, that one works both ways. Now, what I want to bring out from here is this. Jesus was emphasizing that faith cannot be in the heart that is unforgiving. Now, I said something to us, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago. I said, you cannot believe that which doesn't exist. Can you remember that? Now, this is how I illustrated it. Now, Jesus, I said, I ask for anything, just believe. To help you understand what that belief is, you cannot now go and pray to God and say, God, I want to believe that Satan does not exist anymore. Therefore, I want to pray right now and I will believe and you will eradicate Satan. You know why you can't believe that? Satan really exists. I don't know whether you get my point. Faith is not how to change things that are into what they are not. Faith is how to bring the reality of the spirit to the visible realm. Are you getting my point? That is, a man of faith has actually seen something. No, I've said this thing again and again and again and again. The man of faith has what? He has seen something. He has perceived something. And that's what he's trying to bring out to reality. That's why you cannot pray against his will. Are you getting what I'm saying? The Bible said that if we ask according to his will, he hears. That is, what is not the will of God, you don't have the ability to believe it. You can't, because I'm bringing out something here. You see, faith starts with God. So if something is not the will of God, he cannot minister that faith to your heart to believe it. You know, say, Pastor, are you saying that faith can be ministered to people's hearts? Yes. Oh, it's now I'm beginning to understand. You know, let me just say this one, by the way, all right? At the beginning, it's easy to differentiate between fruit and gift. Are you getting my point? When you enter into the depths of spiritual things, you can't. It's hard. There was Jesus operating by the manifestation of the Spirit, which Paul said in his faith, or was just manifesting by the faith that he could muster out from his own heart. It becomes difficult. The reason is this. It is the same God. Now, listen to this. It's the same God that ministers that gift of faith. It's the same God that trains a man's heart in faith. The gift of faith is actually an acceleration of many years of training in 1 second. Are you getting my point? That is what God will have done in training you in years. He just suddenly, in 1 second, your heart becomes solidified. And you just know that this thing is real. And after that, you don't know what made you so sure. You know, this week I was listening to Kenneth Hagin in one of his CDs. And one of the things he said is that he began to minister, to study the authority of the believer. And I'll say something about authority today also. He said he began to talk about the minister about it because once he didn't know why he was doing it, but he just did it. The man who was his Sunday school superintendent fell from a crane or something into a machinery, and the man almost died. In fact, one lung was collapsed and all of that, and the doctor said he would die there. They sent for Hagin, his pastor, who came. And to their surprise, after an hour or two, the man didn't die, so they had to move him to hospital. They said he would die as soon as he gets to hospital. He got to hospital, he didn't die. Then Hagin noticed something, that once he's with a man, all right, the man stabilizes. Once he dozes off, that is, if Hagin falls asleep, crisis breaks, and as if the man dies until he wakes up. And so he will go out and go and pray. He said that he kept on praying and telling God, no, the man can't go. This is the reason why he can't go. I rebuke death. And, you know, he said he was rebuking death. Cut a long story short, after a few days, the man became well. Then the man told the story of why he couldn't remember. He remembered falling off, but didn't remember hitting the machine that crumbled him so bad. But one thing he knew was that at the point in time, he got to heaven and he was so happy as he was approaching. The Lord just appeared and said, you, go back. And he said, no, I don't want to go back. I like it here. Why should I go back? He said, your pastor, that's Kenneth Hagin, will not let you come. Ah. Like, what do you mean? He said, then they opened like a curtain for him to see. And he heard the man praying. He said, no, he can't die now. I rebuke death. Ah. He said, so, oh boy, you got to go back. And the next thing he knew was that he woke up in hospital. And he began to recover. And then he became well. Now, Hagin said that after that, he began to study the authority of the believer. And all of, you know, now, let me cut a long story short. He said he did not even know why he did that thing. Now, you have to understand that it's possible I understand some things he didn't understand. Not because I'm better than him, but because I heard him teach everything he understood. Then we are building upon what he already taught us. Do you get my point? All right. And he used to say that there are things he doesn't understand. Like, please, if you know, come, tell me. I would like to know. Now, when I read that, I just realized something. That he was operating the gift of faith he didn't know. Because he said himself afterwards that he didn't even realize why he began to rebuke death. He did not know he had the ability to do the things he was doing. So he said, now began to study about the authority of the believer and realize that we have authority, this and this. Now, let me explain something here. Many people practice that, okay, and didn't get the results they desired. Why? But Ken Hagin did not listen to me. There are many things. Now, most people practice some things where they don't have authority. I don't know whether you get my point. There are many factors involved. Now, listen to this. You can learn all those factors and understand them properly, and you will know how to exert authority. But I don't know how long it's going to take you. But this is the manifestation of the Spirit. You don't learn it, then suddenly faith drops in your heart. Just like Hagin told in that story, you become so sure of what you are saying. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Afterwards, you wonder, why was I so sure? Do you know why? Because you do not have the understanding to take it to that level. But God dropped a gift of faith in your heart. Now, please, follow what I'm saying now. What did I say? Faith is basically what? A fruit. Is the root that you can go after. It's God that builds up faith in your heart. There are times, crisis periods. Paul said there are diversities of manifestations. There is one he called faith by the same spirit. Then faith drops in your heart and you don't even know how it got there. Are you getting the point? Now, there's a reason why I'm building these things. Because there's something that you must understand. I said something about authority. A man came to Jesus Christ. He said, the centurion. He said, speak the word and my servant will be what? Healed. He said, you don't have to come to my house. Then this was the explanation he gave Jesus Christ. He said, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. That is, I'm also a man over authority. You get what I'm trying to say? He said, I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say to that one, come, and he comes. Now, the man understood authority. And for one reason or the other, he understood that Jesus had authority over sickness. And that he, maybe because of his training, it's possible. Now, listen to me. This man may have been in the occult. Look, the guy was a Roman big man. They worshipped all kinds of gods in that place. He knew what some Jews didn't understand. That there is no distance in the realm of the spirit. Do you understand my point? So just so Jesus Christ simply that, you don't have to come to my house. You can do it right here. So the man understood that spiritually there is no gap in the realm of the spirit. So he said, if you cause the sickness here, the sickness will die. So speak the word and my servant who's far away from here will be healed. Now, please, get what I'm going to say. The man understood spiritual things. That was why he could have that amount of faith in his heart. Are you getting what I'm going to say? You understand that point here? Now, this is what Paul now said. He said, if you are risen with Christ, and you know I said something earlier? He said in Galatians that if walk by the Spirit, he said, if we live by the Spirit, we ought also to do what? Walk by the Spirit. Listen, it's your perception of spiritual realities, get me, that imparts great faith into your heart. I don't know whether you get that point. Now, another thing I want to say before I develop it further. Listen to this. I said something at the beginning about people lose that you have to be careful that what you learn don't slip away from you. Are you getting my point? Now, those days when we were in school. Now, listen to this. The first time I read Ken Hagin's book, Believer's Authority, I never had that depth of insight. A friend of mine was blaspheming in my presence. I walked out of where he was. I commanded him to shut up and came back inside. There and there, he stopped his blasphemy and started speaking words that were glorifying God. It's somebody I know well. I can give you his name. I read the book. This was 1989, SAP riots. Babangida sent us all home, threatened that we'll be home for 1 year. But they managed to persuade it. We came back after 5 months. I was a medical student then. So we're home. It was that period I got that book, and I read it in that season. This guy was blaspheming because he read Harold Robbins' book, one of Harold Robbins' books. He said, he now knows the secret of preachers. The guy was talking and talking. I just got up from his house. I went to visit him in his own house. So I stepped out onto the balcony. They were living upstairs. I stepped out there. I rebuked the blaspheming spirit. And I commanded the guy to zip up his mouth. So I went back inside. To my amazement, you know the interesting part? God is very funny when he wants to make some points. The week before, I had been studying some things and God had been giving me understanding. This guy doesn't believe anything, yet he was sharing the revelations I just understood last week, as soon as I go back inside. I knew, listen, it was Saul also amongst the prophets. Are you getting my point? Saul came there to come and kill David. I knew I had chased out a spirit and the power of God that chased out that blaspheming spirit, it took over his tongue. I was looking at this guy like, who taught you this? I didn't say anything, no. When I read that book also, now listen to this. My house, not the one I live in, I mean my parents' house, then where I was, that 89. The house is close to the back. That is, there's a way they plot, all right? When the house was built, my father just virtually filled the compound with the house. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, later on, they now bought half of the plot that was in front of it, thereby giving the house a relatively big frontage space. But the back is very small. That is, between the house and the fence at the back is quite small. Now, incidentally, the man behind also, that's the same problem in his own house. His house is also close to that particular fence. I don't know the kind of evil spirit that possessed them there.
Those guys quarrel morning till night. The man had two wives. I don't know whether both of them are living in the house. So there's a wife and the children of the older wife. Whether the older wife is there or not, I don't know. But these guys, and the noise was so much. You can imagine your neighbors quarreling all the time. Now, the interesting part is that the room I was staying in, which was, to me, the coolest place in the afternoon in our house, the window was just facing the back. I slept there in the afternoon. I studied there. Now, I was there studying Believer's Authority. Then, while studying Believer's Authority, I suddenly had understanding that this their quarrel is not normal. There's an evil spirit. So you know what I did? I just faced the house. I simply told that evil spirit that disturbing my sleep and my study to shut up till I leave that house. As God is my witness, who I said with all my heart, there was no noise from that house until I went back to school. No, are you following the point I'm making? You are getting what I'm going to say here. Now, what did I do? Let me tell you. All this faith, all this prayer that you pray only after you have, the prayer is not effective until you raise your voice. Let me tell you the truth. It's because you don't have faith. There are voices raised because of passion. You won't even know you are raising your voice. There are voices raised like that. But the habit of shouting is a serious proof that people don't have faith. Are you getting my point? The day Jesus prayed out loud, he said it is so that they can hear. At the tomb of Lazarus, he said, "Father, I thank you because you hear me always." Say, "You know, I'm just making all this noise. I want them to understand that you and I, you know, let me talk to you loudly. Do you follow my point? Let me shout so that all of them will hear." What he was saying is that I will have just coolly. Now, Jesus used to, you know how he used to raise the dead? Tap the dead guy in the casket. Get up. Are you getting my point? That's how he used to do it. I'm bringing out something here. Because he was so sure that he would be obeyed. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because he understood the realities of the spiritual realm. When I read that book, Believer's Authority, what he told me simply, which is one thing I want us to understand as believers. You know, I said I was going to talk about authority briefly. Because, you know, it was... While meditating about this, I realized that there are things I do. People don't know why I do them. Like maybe we're talking on the radio and I shout very loudly. You know, to me it's nothing. It doesn't mean anything, really. To me, it doesn't mean anything. But I didn't realize that many people hearing, to them, is a great matter. Like I say, why do you pray about witches? They are jobless people who can't hurt anybody. And I say that on air. Has any witches that think he has power, she should come and kill me first. And I continue what I'm saying as if I have said nothing. You know, people who will dive under the bed when they hear that, Pastor Banky, we start praying for him. In the name of Jesus, God protect him. Why? Because I dared a witch on the air. They don't understand that prayer is not necessary. Are you getting my point? Like there's one song we've been listening to in recent times. They quote a Yoruba proverb. They have a, you know, this insect, you know, if you put fire outside, you know, insects come at night and start flying around it. So we call them Yoruba. There's a name for, they call them Yoruba language, all right? Which implies that they want to jam the fire. Say the one that thinks he can put out the candle, let him try. Those small, small insects. Hey, jam the fire now. He said, it's yourself you will kill. He said, the egg that jams the rock, who go break? Now, you see, it's not a matter of great faith. I believe that egg that jams rock will not survive. You know, if as you are going, your egg drops. You don't try to catch it. You know it's broken. You know, like you're going, like you bought egg, it just comes out. Before it hits the floor, you know it's broken. You have great faith in the fact that it can't survive the impact. So if you declare that I bought egg, they fell, they all broke. Somebody say, why didn't you check whether they really broke? He said, I know they hit the rock. Did you see them? No, I didn't see them. Are you sure they broke? Oga, why are you so sure? Why didn't you go and look whether they didn't break? He said, what is wrong with you? I said, egg. I didn't say iron. I said, egg. You know, that's what you'll be trying to shout to the person. And for information, it wasn't boiled. Oga said, it doesn't matter. You should have checked. Is it not chicken egg? Chicken egg. You never can tell.
Now, is that kind of attitude with which I say things like, you just say something about the witches and that. As God is my witness, I'm not aware you pray about such things. No, really, really. The reason being that I am so persuaded. Now, it's now I'm realizing the reason why I'm so persuaded. It's a matter of information. Are you getting my point? Over time, I have studied the word of God to realize that, listen, nothing on earth happens, all right, without God, all right, allowing it. One. And he said, the very hair on my head, they are numbered. Are you getting the point I'm making? The very hair. So, and then he said that we are seated with him in heavenly places above all, far above all principalities. Now, you see, I don't know. I learned these things in the university. It's part of my life. I don't even remember to confess it. I have power against witches. What is my own with witches? The ones that want to die early should make me their personal enemy. You know, there are people I feel sorry for. I don't know them, but I just know that once in your heart you dislike me, you can't prosper in life. Are you getting my point? And all my enemies, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rise up against them. Me? Rise up against people that are not important? You know those who I rise up against? Those who are standing against the propagation of the gospel. Are you getting my point? In the path of my ministry, I'm rising up against ignorance. Are you getting my point? The ones that are holding people I'm supposed to teach in bondage, I rise up against them. All the religious spirits that don't let people hear the word of God, I rise up against them. But as my personal warfare is lived in the realm of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He said, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, you see, having understanding of that, you just say, make statements, even on radio, and you don't even realize that these are weighty words. You are getting the point I'm making? That was the way the centurion approached Jesus Christ and said, what's the big deal? You are going to my house? It's not necessary. Can't you speak the word here? Sorry, I thought that you're the big guy. If you speak the word here, something will happen now. No, really. No, I believe. All right? That is because the man had experience. Okay? And he understood that spiritual things work by authority. And in the realm of the spirit, there is no distance. Now, why did I bring this matter up? Now, you see that I make such statements boldly. Now, listen to this. Without thinking about them, because my heart has received the truth about them. Do you get my point? My heart has already received the truth about them. So I make such statements boldly without really thinking about them. What I mean is that faith is just in the heart. Let me say this. The persuasion I have about that information is what matters when I'm speaking. Oh, how do I say this now? Something happened to one of my friends some time ago. Their son died, all right? He was ill, and then he died. And then she told me that later, a neighbor came to her house and said, sorry. I just want you to know that woman, there's another person living near them, that woman is a witch. They say, actually, she's the one that used her witchcraft to kill your son. And my friend started laughing. She laughed and laughed and laughed and couldn't stop it. I said, listen, madam, don't worry. No witch can kill my son. Listen to this. The boy had died. All right? But even at that point, you couldn't persuade her that a witch did it. Why? Because she understood the same things that I understand. Are you getting my point? Do you know the interesting part? That was what Jesus told his disciples. He walked up to them. He began to teach them, look, very soon you will see this happen, this will happen, and that will happen. And then you see the Son of Man delivered up, his beaten and all of that. He now said that, I want you to know ahead of time that I laid down my life of myself. No one takes it away from me by force. Are you getting my point? And after that, I will take it up again. Are you getting my point? He said, this commandment I have received from my Father. He was explaining to them that because people will have thought. He said, the prince of this world comes. He has nothing in me. He said, but that the world might know that I love the Father. He said, I laid down my life of myself. Do you get my point? He had to explain to the disciples ahead of time. So even though they saw this man killed, they saw him beaten, they saw him hung on the cross until he died, he warned them ahead of time, don't let any Satan come and tell you they overpowered me. He said, what happened was that I laid down my life, by myself. Same thing my friend was saying. He said, listen, Listen, I know my son died. He said, but for your information, no witch has the power. They don't transgress near my compound. As for the death of the boy, it's between the Lord and I. Are you getting me? But for the witches, let them not deceive you. They want to use that one to scare you. How did she know that? Simple, imbibing spiritual truth. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Are you getting my point? Now, so I'm bringing out this issue here. See, when faith is in the heart, it is just there. I don't know how to explain what I'm trying to say. So when this occasion arises, you will just believe without really thinking about believing. You are getting the point? That is, faith is not, oh God, it's not a last minute conjuring the heart. Come on, join your hands, close your eyes. Don't let any distraction come. We want to believe right now. That one is not believing, no. Listen, faith grows in the heart persistently as God puts in spiritual information into a heart that you have opened to God. Let me go back to the beginning so that I can close with that. Now, this is what I want you to understand. I said something at the beginning that, listen, there are things that are what? Fruits. There are things that are roots. We have established that faith is what? A fruit. What is the root? Let me just explain this. He said, this is the fruit of the spirit. Faith is the fruit of the spirit. So actually, there is something that the Bible refers to there as the spirit, which is what? The root. Are you getting my point? I don't know how to define it properly. I don't. As I speak, I pray that the understanding will be communicated to you. So let me just talk, all right? I'll just talk. At the end of the day, you will grab it. Say amen if you believe that. Amen. All right. Now, let's start from Esau. That would be a good place to start. Don't forget, last week I said, why did the widow of Zarephath have faith? It was because normally she would give anyway. She had love in her heart towards people. Are you getting my point? Now, let's go back to Esau. Why could Esau not see the value of the birthright? Because basically in his heart, it was a godless person who did not depend on God. Are you getting the point? Therefore, God withdrew from him the ability to see the birthright, the importance of the birthright. Every understanding of your purpose in life that God imparts into your life, okay, into your heart, that you walk by, is a template for God to build faith into your heart. Let me explain that further. That is, I've said again and again that life is an assignment. Actually, I started today with that point, that you must understand in life that, listen, you are not here to enjoy stuff. You are here to impact this generation for God, so that along the way, God blesses you and then you enjoy things, but that's not the reason why you are here. Let me explain this to you. If you just believe that, just mere believing that statement and accepting it, because you see, you must understand something, that when you accept that, you are rejecting something else. I don't know whether you get my point. There are decisions you wanted to take, all right? As soon as you heard that statement, you realize that those decisions were just being taken out of personal comfort. That, in fact, you are going to drop in your ability to bless people. So maybe you are just going to get more money than you used to get. And instantly, you reject the opportunity to earn more money. Are you getting my point? Let me give this illustration. I used this one for them at Glory Christian Center the other day. As I was speaking, the thing just came to my mind. I was talking with a friend of mine who said that he doesn't have money, so he thinks that maybe he should leave Nigeria. And this guy is earning almost twice what I'm earning, and we are on the same level, all right? Now, I made a statement. I said, hey, wait, listen. It is not because I am lazy, are you getting my point, that I'm not earning as much. It is because, of course, we all have 24 hours. You sleep, you take care of other things, your family and all of that. In the working hours that you have, I said, I have dedicated. Now, please, I'm not complaining. Are you getting my point? I'm not complaining at all. As I have dedicated a huge chunk of my time to do something that nobody pays me for. I said, I just made that statement in passing. I said, so it's not out of laziness that I know what to do to virtually double my income also. That is, you know, that God not hindering you, because God can hinder you. Are you getting my point? God can decide that, okay, you want to look for money, come now, start. As you mount the ox, you go to jam wall. You see the road now, the ass will be jamming the wall and jamming the wall. That is God personally hindering somebody. God can open a door and no one can shut it, and he can also shut a door and no one can open it. You will get that point. But I'm just looking on the natural level, what Solomon we call under the sun. I said, under the sun, I know what to do to maybe double what I'm earning.
right now, materially speaking. I said, but do you know why I can't even do that? Paul, again, from Philippians chapter 2, he said, though our outward man is perishing, I'm combining many scriptures. He said, but if it is for the strengthening of your faith, in that we rejoice. Are you getting my point? I said, when I noticed that, despite the fact that I could have used this time to earn money, but listen, money cannot buy the satisfaction I get from the testimonies from the mouth of those that are blessed with the word of God. It's not possible. Are you getting my point? Now listen to this. Listen to this. You have that kind of attitude. When God wants to give you the wealth of Solomon, he will personally open your eyes to see the wealth of Solomon so that you can believe it and receive it. That is the work in the spirit. We are contrasting Esau with Jacob. Jacob, this is how it is. That is, for having a heart that truly loves the Lord and is ready to sacrifice for the service of the Lord. You are getting what I'm going to say? That is selling itself completely to the service of the Lord. God said, fine. Then I open his eyes. Then he sees what Esau can never see. Are you getting my point? Jacob desired greatness. But there is something about him that, look, listen, that's the same thing about David. David also, no, there's nobody that doesn't desire greatness. Anybody says that, look, me, I don't desire, just know the person has a spiritual problem. Don't let him look humble to you. Are you getting my point? Listen, we are not Hindus, or I'll be what they call them, Buddhists. Paul said it's actually an evil thing to take delight in punishing the flesh. It is not Christian. It's not a Christian attribute to take delight in punishing. That's how this fasting, your stomach perforates. God is my witness. I will never participate. If I am hungry any time in the midst of a fast, I eat. I'm sorry. This is not the way I'm getting on. No, listen. I have considered the destruction of hunger more powerful than that of I'm serious, in hindering the spirit, just a glass of juice. What is the big deal? It is the focus on the spirit that God is asking for. I don't know whether you get my point. Ah, okay. Now, how did I get this? Oh, the Lord is good. So I'm talking about not people just desire. Look, listen. The only thing is that, as a true soldier, are you getting my point? There are things that are hindrances. Therefore, as you are, you know, I explained this to us before, that there's what is called the spirit of a man who bears infirmity, but a broken spirit, who can bear? Can you remember that scripture? It said the spirit of a man who bears infirmity. You see, Kanuwanko or Okocha or Drogba, all those guys. When they are running for a ball. Is that okay? Then you give them a stud, you know, a rough tackle. The guy falls down. If he was running on the road and you gave him that stud, that rough tackle, and he fell down, you know, he'll call police for you. You know, because it's very, very painful. But on the football field, you know, it doesn't feel any pain. As soon as the guy hits the floor, it's up again. My enemies, even though I fall 7 times, I shall rise again. Defender, you can bring me down. I'm jumping after the ball. Why? The quest in his heart to score that goal is bearing his infirmity. That's the scripture. When he said the spirit of a man will bear his infirmity, that is his drive for the goal, all right, makes him ignore the pain. That is what Christians do. We don't punish the flesh for the sake of punishing the flesh. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The punishing of the flesh does not in any way, all right, improve our spirituality. But what happens is that sometimes we have to endure hardship, not incur hardship. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Not bargain for hardship, but do what? Endure it. That is, it must be as you are pursuing a goal. You don't just wake up in the morning. How many of you watch Mufasa, Lion King? The boy went to look for trouble. The father said, what was your problem? Going to the hyenas then. He said, I wanted to be brave, just like you. Ah! The man said, being brave does not mean you go looking for trouble. He said, I'm only brave when I have to be. You understand the Christian and the flesh now? And hunger and fasting? When Paul said that we went through many fastings, it didn't mean we declared a fast. It meant that we will be on the ship, and there's no water to drink, no food to eat. But we endured that to get to where we are going so we can preach the gospel. That is in many fastings. It's not the declaration of 40-day fast. That's not what I was talking about. That we will get to certain places, we have no ministry support, nobody is giving us money, but we don't run because we are there to preach. And when we see the preaching going on, we'll finish preaching. God no go even supply small food. But next day, do we say, hey, we didn't eat yesterday, so we are going away? No. Next morning, we start again. That is, we endure fastings. Fasting is not always declared. Fasting sometimes are spontaneous. You know what they call your breakfast? Because sleep made you fast the whole night. In the morning, you break the fast. Are you getting my point? No, that's the way it is. So when Paul talks about in fastings, it doesn't mean declaring 40-day fast. Oh God, help me to say this without injuring people. It's a waste of time. Oh God, please. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Now, let's get back to the main thing now so that I can close, please, so that we can get out of here. So now, this is what I'm trying to say. Now, when a woman has that attitude, all right, with a spirit that is going for the goal of God, do you get my point? Then along the line, that's what I was trying to say. Like Jacob would begin to have understanding of the importance of the birthright. Something that Esau, with all his hard work, can't see. Because once you have visions, I told you before, your faith is unshakable. So the ability to see is what God begins to give that heart that's working with. You know, I said it before. That is, as you are working with God, that God begins to train you up in faith. Don't forget where we are going to. Listen, that faith is just there. Once it hits that place, whatever it is now, listen, even in your wildest imagination, it is not possible for that thing not to happen. Whatever it is that you can conceive. There is no other way to have faith built up in your heart than to focus on learning the things of the Spirit. You know, Paul said, like, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said like this, he said, concerning the things of the Spirit, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. That is, the assignment of the Christian is to start learning the things of the Spirit. That is how faith gets built up in your heart. How did I acquire faith that doesn't, you know, I can't stand prayer meetings. There are prayer meetings I can't go for. In fact, truly, most prayer meetings, I don't like them. I have been to prayer meetings. The next prayer point we have for this night is that I want to pray that as we begin to do our business this week, no evil shall befall us and no problem shall come near our dwelling place. Let us begin to pray. And you know, I try. You know, see me to the... After a while, I pause. But that's a statement of fact now. No evil shall befall you and neither shall any plague come near your dwelling place. Why don't you just thank God for that and bring up another prayer point? I don't know whether you get my point. Once I went to Winners in Lagos, went for School of Ministry. One brother was leading prayers. And he will lead prayers powerfully. And I didn't know my hands were crossed like this. And I was just, my hands were crossed like this. And I was just speaking gently under my breath. And after the prayer session ended, one sister on my right tapped me and said, excuse me, which church do you attend? Do you attend the church? I said, I just came for School of Ministry. He said, yes, because I noticed that when we were praying, when we were really, really praying, your hands were crossed. I wanted to tell her, I said, madam, you don't know what the problem is. His prayer point didn't make sense to me. But I couldn't tell her that. I wanted to tell her that, madam, sorry, I'm not angry with the whole prayer, but that guy's prayer point didn't make sense. Let me tell you, I remember this one very well. He said, pray that all the word you will hear today, the breath of the air won't come and take it away from your heart. Plead the blood of Jesus over your heart. I thought for a moment, there's one the Bishop Oedipo used to call spiritual calculus. So I did my spiritual calculus. Sometimes it's not good to know too many things. I said, listen, you are quoting the parable of Jesus Christ, Mark chapter 4, Matthew chapter 13. All right? And I think Luke 8, when he said that some the words dropped by the wayside. They didn't, and then the birds of the air came and picked it. You didn't know that he said by the wayside. I don't know whether you get my point. I feel like by the wayside. Do I look like a by the wayside person? By the wayside. By the wayside. No, I'm sorry. But my attitude was that. Then the interpretation of Jesus Christ was that these are those that heard the word and did not understand it. Is that not so? And he said, give attention that you may gain understanding. I want to tell the mother, do you know how many days of work I've been telling my chief for 2 months to give me leave for these 3 days? I take 3 buses to get here. I wake up at 6 a.m. Do I look like the kind of person Satan wants to pick the word from his heart? As God is my witness, that's what I was thinking of when he was saying, plead the blood over your heart. I just said, it's not necessary, sir. Tell Satan to come. As God is my witness, that was the attitude with. And you know, I wasn't saying this to anybody. I was just alone there. I was just like this, like, all right, Father, we'll give you thanks. It's be a good day today. The word is coming forth. I thank you. I've come this way, Lord. You will bless me. I thank you for the word. So, and I was just saying that like this. Because I wasn't fighting, so my fist was not going out. Satan, in the name of Jesus, I will rebuke you. You will die today. And because it was an attitude of thanksgiving. I am sorry. Now, I wasn't discussing this with anybody. I was just on my own, you know. So my hands were just like this. I didn't know somebody was watching me like, hey, this one is not praying. This one is not praying like everybody else. Eh? Yeah, because in my mind, I felt like the prayer point, as God is my witness, was unnecessary. That if we have to pray any prayer, we should go to Ephesians chapter 1 and pray that God will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that all the word that is coming forth today will be able to grab and understand them. Because he that understands it is not a candidate for the chopping up by breath of the air. He's not a candidate. And listen, without understanding, plead the blood of the Lamb and the blood of Jesus and the resurrected Christ, the body of Christ, together. Satan, once you just finish pouring the blood, you will wait for the blood to finish washing, then you come back and collect the... Why? Because they have not yet penetrated into the heart. Listen to me. You think my prayer was not answered? My own prayer was answered. Part of the reason why you are here today is because those prayers were answered. There was a day I went for a meeting like that. This one, later on I understood that it was the Spirit of God. Larry Adeboye, that's the man's name. He preached on the message he called Year After Year. You've heard me talk about the power of purpose. How to, you know, purpose. The first time I heard any message in that regard was Larry Adeboye preaching on Year After Year. When he talked about, in fact, if you heard me talk on 1 Samuel chapter 1, about Hannah and the birth of Samuel, and all of that, apart from light added here and there, okay? The basic light upon which I founded most of the things I preached in that area was given that day. I heard it from Larry Adeboye's mouth. He said that this woman was going year after year to Shiloh to go and sacrifice. Now, he summarized it by saying that until she discovered the purpose of God, when her husband said that, am I not better to you? I said, am I not better than 10 sons to you? Right, said the woman understood the meaning of the word 10 sons. That 10 sons is not necessarily 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That 10 sons can be one son. That is a son that stands out amongst the multitude. The man described all of that. They now began to talk about the purpose of God in our individual lives. Man, few messages in life has moved me like that one that day. And at the end, we rose up to pray. And we began to pray. Like, you know the normal prayer now. Trust brethren. Me too, I joined because the message was powerful. Hi! I was like, yes, Satan, you don't hear today. You will never derail me again. The purpose of God in my life. Hey! Brothers, as I stood up, you know, as I was, you know, as I was bouncing, ready for the bouts, for them to ring the bell, then suddenly, there was a voice in my spirit. It was afterwards I understood what happened, because this was exactly what happened physically. I just stood there. A thought just came up in my heart. Like, what are you doing? So, we want to pray that this word to have effect. The next thing was that, do you believe everything the man has said? I said, I do. He said, then sit down. I looked at my left and I sat. As God is my witness, I didn't utter a word of prayer. You know what I understood? Oh my God, how do I say this?
It said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it said, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to by itself divide. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Then I understood that as Peter was still speaking, before he could make an altar call, the Holy Spirit fell upon the whole house of Cornelius. That as Paul was preaching, he saw that that young man had faith to be healed. And he just said, you, rise up. Then I understood what the Lord was teaching me. That as the word was going on, are you getting my point? The wrong heart attitude was being filed away. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen to me, as God is my witness, since then till now, every decision I have made in life has been centered around the fact that Kingdom Word Ministries must fill the whole of the globe with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I didn't have the name Kingdom Word that time. Even to the point of which kind of woman do you want to marry? I said, my wife must believe I can preach. Like, fine like Jezebel. You hear? Like me, like fish likes water. If while I'm preaching, the word doesn't move you, you are not of God, you are of Satan. No, it's so important. That is why, if I don't want to do something, now I'm not saying I do this as a bad thing. Once I tell my wife that, sorry, we can't travel because I'm going to preach. You know, that journey is canceled. That, you know, it is never discussed. If I say, let us sell all that we have and give to the propagation of the gospel, my wife will not even utter a word of resistance. You know why? Because since the day Larry Adeboye spoke, I have never been able to make judgment because he brings money. As God is my witness, I am not lying. The Holy Spirit, now I realize, was the Holy Spirit. He said, do you understand everything? He said, I said, yes. He said, then keep quiet and sit down. And I literally, in fact, anybody watching me will have wondered what happened. Because like I told you, I had gotten up like, oh yeah, start. Satan, oh, we don't ready for you today. Then suddenly I stopped and sat. What I have said so far about faith is that, listen, your heart must start going out for the knowledge of spiritual workings if your heart will be able to appreciate faith in God. Do you get my point? One of the greatest revelations I've had in recent time, which I'm teaching every young man who I know will be very rich in life, is that one of time and chance. We have decided here by understanding that time and chance describe constellation of angels. You know that? It's not just events that happen suddenly. No. We know that time and chance will happen to Joshua every time he circles Jericho. Why? Because there are angels on top ready to sing the wall. Are you getting my point? So Jericho does not have to worry about when will RJ Letourneau produce bulldozers. In another 5,000 years, no. We know that time and chance will happen to this wall. That's a knowledge of spiritual understanding. Are you getting my point? You won't have it except you reach out for it. It's important. The only way you fail to be built in your heart is for you to understand that there is a realm that is beyond the natural.